my name is Mike Barry. I'm head of sustainable business at the UK retailer Marks & Spencer. Poverty is clearly an issue that should concern us all in society for lots of reasons. I mean, there's a moral imperative that we should not be satisfied, any of us sat here in the West, that people in other parts of the world face extreme poverty, extreme hardship. There's just a moral imperative for us to do something. But secondly, and perhaps more pragmatically, we should look at the stability of the world that we live in. If people live in extreme poverty, that is going to breed discontent and unhappiness across the world, will lead to all kinds of problems for us here as well. So there's both a moral reason and a more pragmatic reason as to why we should be intervening as a society and making a difference in some of the poorest parts of the world. Procurement throws up all kinds of challenges to do with poverty. There are very clearly issues to do with good labour standards. All of us should be seeking to ensure that the factories, the farms that supply us around the world are employing people in the right way in terms of the salaries paid, working hours, avoiding discrimination. So the basics of human rights, the basics of employment law, wherever we operate, should be being upheld. That's very, very clear. But also we should look at more ambitiously at procurement as well as the giving an opportunity to change people's lives for the better. We're beginning to see now opportunities where you can not just avoid bad things happening, but start to make good things happen. I think we, like many organisations at M&S, have been through that journey. We're still working very hard in thousands of factories and tens of thousands of farms, probably 2 million workers across our supply chain, to make sure that they're well treated and basic laws and rights are being respected. But now if you look to the future, I think we're wanting to be a bit more ambitious. We're looking to actually go beyond, for example, ensuring that a minimum wage is paid to workers around the world in our factories and farms, to a point where a living wage is a desirable outcome in Sri Lanka, in India and Bangladesh. And a living wage is about doing more than just paying the legal minimum. It's saying that in many countries, what is stipulated by law might not be enough for a family or a person to get by on in reality, and that we should be aspiring to do that. Now, as procurement professionals, many people might turn around and say, well, how do you square that? We operate in a very competitive marketplace. We're constantly looking to control costs here. If we look to increase wages willy-nilly around the world, sure, that's going to put us all at a commercial disadvantage here. Well, there is that challenge, and we believe that we've found a way of squaring the circle, that you can increase productivities in factories and farms that frees up more cash to pay workers more. You get better productivity, better quality products, better supplier support. The workers in those factories get a better outcome for themselves as well. So I think there is very clearly issues to do with stopping the bad things happening, but it's also an opportunity for anybody involved in procurement to look at making a positive difference as well. The biggest challenge in terms of tackling poverty in procurement is about just traceability, knowing who your basic suppliers are. So if you think about a typical supply chain, whether you're a retailer or any organisation, you buy from a primary supplier. Behind that primary supplier might be many levels of supply chain to get you the finished product, producing raw materials, handling them, stitching them together into a finished product that you purchase yourself and that you sell or provide to your consumer. So traceability to me is the single biggest challenge. If you don't know who's in your supply chain, it's very difficult for you actually to intervene and A, stop the bad things happening, and B, look for opportunities to make the good things happen. Now, we've worked very hard at M&S over the years to drive that traceability. We have amongst retail, large-scale retailers, probably amongst the best traceability in the world, and yet we cannot be complacent. There is always a new level to drive it down to. We work back through, for example, our clothing supply chain. We work back down through the primary factory that makes the goods, the dye house that puts colour into the yarn, the spinner. But we need to go beyond that. That's best practice today, but we now need to go right back into the cotton field and understand what's been produced, what lead stands, what poverty issues lie there in the cotton fields around the world as well. And that's just on our clothing business. On foods, we go right back to the factory all around the world to ensure that our goods are produced to high quality standards, high ethical standards. But it's a challenge. You can always do more in traceability. Then there's probably a challenge then about length of relationship. If you're only buying from a supplier for a few weeks, a few months, a few products, it's very difficult to build up the length of relationship that you need to make a real difference. Now, every organisation will need some flexibility in supply chain. You can't be with everybody all of the time. But really, longevity of relationship, wherever it's possible, is desirable and helps tackle the issue of poverty. And then thirdly, I think I've already mentioned the challenge of legislation. It's easy here in the UK to assume that we have good basic laws to do with protecting people's rights, and we do. But in other countries, that's not always the case. And even where there is a law in place, it might not be adequate or certainly not adequately enforced. So again, as a business and organisation procuring things, you need to be willing to intervene back down the supply chain to go beyond the law or complement the law to ensure people are looked after. So those would be my three big challenges for anybody involved with procurement concerned about poverty. Organisations can make a huge difference in terms of tackling poverty. We have a big commercial clout, whether it's a retailer or any other business, around the world to make good things happen. We should be using that for a powerful good. And also, because we believe attention to detail in tackling poverty also brings better commercial outcomes as well. We believe you can square the circle and deliver better environmental and social performance, but also succeed commercially at the same time. So again, the organisation should be looking to square that circle and really drive the agenda going forward. It's not just organisations like M&S, there's other many big brands out there, people like Nike working hard in this space as well, that you can learn from, that you can be inspired by, and in turn that you can bring your ideas to the table, because no one's cracked this one. There is so much still to be done in terms of understanding business and sustainability, the widest sense of the word, and the specific challenge of poverty within that. But if you believe in doing the right thing, you understand the potentially commercial outcomes from doing it, you have the basic measures of traceability in place, you have good people in place working for you, you can start to make a difference. Well, I think there are three basic steps an organisation can take at the beginning of the journey on this. We've talked already about traceability and the need for understanding who your supply chain are, where you can intervene to make a difference. So that's the first thing. The second thing is not to be alone on this. There are very good membership organisations out there, like the Ethical Trading Initiative, like SEDEX, that brings organisations together, whether at the start of the journey or fairly well advanced on it, to share best practice, to share standards, to ensure that they're auditing suppliers just once rather than dozens of different purchasing organisations going in, driving a supplier to distraction with many different types of audits and systems. So there are some basic steps that you can take to join these organisations and learn in partnership with others. We found it hugely helpful to be part of these organisations to date, and I'm sure we will do in the future going forward. However, whether you're starting the journey or pushing it further and faster, be part of these organisations. So that's the second area. The third area is just mindset. It's starting to say, we have to get on top of the risk. We have to avoid the bad things happening. But sometimes you can start to put your toe in the water and learn about making a real positive difference. And the way we've gone around that is just to start picking out trial facilities, not trying to do everything everywhere straight away, you know, walk before you run, but trying to find one or two specific factories and farms where we can prove a business case that says good social outcomes, good environmental outcomes also equals good commercial outcomes. Prove the case there, then take the best practice from that out to 10 more suppliers and from then to 100 and from then to 1,000. So you can start to scale with from those small beginnings. But build your confidence by working with a small number of suppliers for them to learn and for you to learn together. So those would be my three recommendations about the first step. Get the traceability right, join the right membership organisations, and then start to do some trials about positive outcomes that you can scale for the future. Poverty is a very powerful issue. You only have to travel. I mean, I've been out to Africa, Southeast Asia, Central America to see but what real poverty looks like. You know, we see it here on the TV, we read about it in the newspaper, but until you've actually seen it, you've travelled through it, you've experienced it, you can never begin to imagine what life is like for people out there. And you're just scratching the surface. You parachute in, you come out after a few days, but it gives you a sense of the challenge that hundreds of millions of people across the world face. It's enormous. But the second thing about travel is also that you can see the difference that good jobs and good business relationships with the West do make. Business can be a powerful force for good if done properly. And admittedly, that's a big if. There's lots of reasons why business can also bring harm and problems as well. But done right, business can be a powerful lever for change, both environmentally and socially. And again, you only have to travel to see those differences between factories and farms that sit cheek by jowl in places like Africa, between the good ones and the bad ones. There is an enormous difference, and they're literally operating next to each other, people walking into those different factories and farms from the same street, the same neighbourhood, maybe even the same home. And yet the difference in terms of working conditions, their opportunities for the future, is so very, very different depending whether to turn left into one factory or right into another one. And the third thing then is to be, when you go there and you see success, when you see somebody's not just a worker but started their own small business, not just the commercial opportunities that brings to them and to their families, but the sense of hope and aspiration. We want people not just to be workers in the future, but to be entrepreneurs, to be business people themselves, to be community leaders themselves. All of this is possible. It's awe-inspiring when you see it in practice. But also you need to set it in the context. It's a few very, very positive examples set in a sea of huge challenge as well. So get out there, anybody involved with procurement, get out there, see the realities of the supply chain you operate and the difference that you can make if you get it right.